So when we see that mysterious genetic code, CTAGGATTCA, what we're actually seeing are shorthand representations so that we don't have to write out all of the elements of the carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogens. Well, the elements of life, those four elements, we can plot those onto a table. We find them on a chart. If you're in school, if your children are in school, or when you were in school, I know you saw this chart. It's called the periodic table of elements. And those four elements are described on this table as words like hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon. They're also described as numbers. We have all kinds of numbers, things that we call the atomic weight, the atomic mass, the boiling point, all kinds of numbers that we can use to describe these as well. So the bottom line to this whole portion of the conversation, all I'm asking that you consider here, is that today modern science describes our world and life as words and as numbers. Words, the elements, numbers, the numbers that represent those elements. So modern science describes creation, life, the cells of our bodies as word and number. Well, through the very precise values that scientists give to each of those elements, we can literally convert what our bodies are made of into numbers, and this is the key to translating the message in our cells, and here's the reason why. I know you're asking this question. The reason why is because ancient traditions did exactly the same thing. They did exactly in their time what we're doing in ours. However, they use different words. They use different language. One of the secrets of ancient languages, one of the really exciting aspects of researching the book, The God Code, when I reached this point in the research, was to describe the secret that all alphabets, every alphabet that's ever been created, every alphabet that's ever been recorded, has always had what are called hidden or secret numbers that are linked to every letter of the alphabet. So you've got A, B, C, D, E, and then you've got numbers that are tied to those, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4. The numbers are very precise. They're very specific. They're very mysterious. Some of those numbers were assigned 5,000 years ago, and they never changed. There are many places in this program where one topic that we're discussing could become the subject for the entire program. We could spend hours speaking about this one topic, and this is one of those places, because there is a very ancient science that underlies the use of numbers that represent letters. And up until 400 years ago, with the beginning of what we call modern science, this was a very common way of dealing with our natural world. This ancient science, and it is a science, of applying numbers to find the deeper meaning in the texts. It is called gematria, G-E-M-A-T-R-I-A, sometimes pronounced gematria, sometimes pronounced gematria. Numerology, if you're familiar with numerology, is a subset. It is derived from this science of gematria. This is such a precise science, gematria is so precise, that in the 2nd century A.D., a rabbi, Eliezer ben R. Jose, actually published 32 rules, rabbinical rules, of precisely how we use these numbers, rules that must be adhered to if we're going to consider the numbers that go with the alphabets. So we'll discuss this a little bit later, and the point here is that all of the ancient alphabets, including English, which is a relatively modern alphabet, have always had numbers that are linked to the letters. So whether we're speaking about cuneiform or Sanskrit or Chinese, Arabic, Greek, Coptic, Latin, English, ancient Hebrew, all of these alphabets have these mysterious numbers that are linked to the letters. So through gematria, we can literally convert the letters of an entire text. You could take the phone book, or you could take the book of Genesis, or the first chapter of Moby Dick, and you could create and convert all of those letters into numbers, whether you're talking about a temple wall or an ancient scroll. So ancient texts describe creation through words, and then the numbers that can be linked to every one of the letters in the words. Modern science describes creation as words and number, the elements and the numbers that can be linked to each of those. And the question is there a common denominator between them? Is there a common denominator? It's all about language. We describe our world through words and number. The ancients described our world through words and number. And while the words may change over time, the numbers never change. So if we can convert language into number, then we've got a way to read this code in our bodies. If we can turn the DNA in our cells into numbers, we can match those numbers with the numbers of the ancient alphabets, and we can literally replace all of the elements of life with letters and read the code of life as words and sentences. And that's precisely what this project has done. Now, as a scientist, I'm going to be the first to admit this is a way different way of looking at life. Some people may say that it's not scientific. If we define science as our ability to apply a rigid set of rules to solving a specific problem, and if we adhere to the rules strictly and we get the same results repeatedly, predictably, time after time, we can say this is so, then by definition it is a science, and this is a scientific method of doing this. So on the one hand, in modern times, no one told us that life and alphabets and letters are related. On the other hand, this is precisely what happens when we follow the clues in the ancient instructions in some of our most cherished traditions. Well, perhaps one of the languages that best lends itself to this process, although gematria may be applied to many of the ancient alphabets, is the alphabet of ancient biblical Hebrew. It is biblical Hebrew that became the first language the cells of our bodies, the message in our cells, was converted into. And I'd like to share with you just for a moment about why I chose that language first. Because Hebrew, by no stretch of the imagination, is the oldest language known to humankind. There are many, many other languages much older. Egyptian hieroglyphs, the Sumerian cuneiform, much, much older. What makes the Hebrew language so very unique? First of all, it is one of the oldest continuously used languages today. Many of those other languages, although we believe that we can translate them, Mayan hieroglyphs, for example, or Egyptian hieroglyphs from temple walls, although we believe that we can translate them and give meaning to the symbols, the languages are no longer used. So to some degree, we speculate, we guess, we fill in the missing pieces in terms of what those languages may actually be saying to us. This is not the case with biblical Hebrew. It is such a stable language. It is used today. It's changed very, very little in the last 5,000 years. It's used today just the way it was then. When we see the words of a 2,500-year-old scroll, we can read those in the Dead Sea Scrolls, for example. We can read those words just as we would today, because the language is so stable. So Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, one of the oldest continuously used languages, it also has some of the most complete records. Many of the other ancient languages and traditions, their records are incomplete, they're fragmented. Some of them are simply oral traditions that have been passed from generation to generation and are subject to change. It's not so with the Hebrew records. They have very precise, very complete records. In the piece that I believe that is so fascinating, number three, is that the Hebrew language is the basis for the spiritual and religious traditions of over one half of the world's population. Biblical Hebrew links the three traditions of Christian and Hebrew and Islam through the Old Testament prophet Abraham into the common texts. So if we were ever going to find a principle of peace, and if we wanted to translate a language inside of ourselves into a text that would be meaningful to the greatest number of people, to me it makes tremendous sense to translate that language into the words that are linked to our spiritual traditions for over half of the world's population. And for that reason, I chose to begin this project in Hebrew. Since that time, we know that the message also translates into other languages as well, such as ancient Arabic. And it appears that it works in Sanskrit as well, although that research is not quite complete.